This is Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining us around the Campfire Cafe is the Academy of Western Artists 2014 Female Performer of the Year, Kristen Harris. From high heels and hotels to home on the range, we'll be talking with Phyllis Witt Payne, owner of the Campfire Cafe, is made possible by our sponsors in the general store and the gallery at East of Santa Fe. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the gallery at East of Santa Fe and the general store at our website, equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Kristen Harris. Performer of the Year with the Academy of Western Artists and has received numerous awards in her young career, and we're very pleased to have her with us today. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Hello, howdy. Thanks for having me.
Well, glad to have you, and you know, I think people can tell already you know how to yodel.
Yeah, just a little.
A little bit. Hey, I want to, but we've got a lot of stuff that we want to talk about with you today, and I want to find out which came first for you, the guitar or the horse?
Well, actually, it was the horse. I had two horses, started out with a quarter horse when I was 11. He was my first horse. And then a couple years later, I adopted a wild Mustang. And I had both of those, and it was pretty soon after I got my Mustang that I started picking up the guitar and wanting to learn to play. So it was kind of the horses that, you know, I would love the lifestyle that goes with having horses and riding, and that's kind of how I got into Western music.
All right. Well, you know, we talked a little bit the other day, and it's actually, I enjoy my pre-show interviews with our guests because we really get to find out a lot of interesting things. But for our audience, and we've got folks that are listening all across the United States in about 50 countries right now, so we are going to be introducing you to some people that probably are not familiar with you and your music. But where are you from?
Yeah. Well, I'm from McKinney, Texas, and I guess I've been playing about 6 years and performing a lot, well, and touring a lot just within the past 2 to 3 years. But I still find time for my horses, and I just love it. So.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your horses before, and we're going to talk some more about how you got started with guitar, because that's pretty interesting too, the way that you learned to play. But you had your quarter horse, and then your second horse was a Mustang. And
that's
how old
right.
was that Mustang? How old was that Mustang when you got it?
She was 18 months old. She was wild too. We got her, and she came from Wyoming, but she was shipped down to Nacogdoches, Texas, with a bunch of other Mustangs, and I bought her there at the auction for $125, and brought her home, and we unloaded her right into a round pen, so it'd be easy to start training her. And the first thing she does is jump that 5.5-foot round pen fence. And she was out, we have a 20-acre pasture, and she was out loose in that. So it was a very much a learning experience for me, trying to tame
right.
her and train her. And, yeah, but it was,
well,
I loved it.
What was it that caused you to adopt a Mustang?
Well, I loved horses so much, and having my first horse, my quarter horse, he came with a lot of problems. I mean, he was 19 years old and retired from barrel racing. He'd had an injury, but he was still rideable. He just didn't race anymore. And
right.
And they told us that he was real good for a first horse. He was real gentle and, you know, that kind of thing. But the first several times I got on him, I got thrown off. And
oh, wow.
So he, yeah, after that we got a round pen, and I didn't know what I was doing, but I read lots of horse books, which kind of helped. You know, but really, I've discovered it just takes going out and doing it with a horse. And so I would work on riding him in the round pen. And, you know, he liked to buck and he liked to bolt. And he didn't, you know, want to go when you wanted him to. And just all kinds of things like that. And so I was enjoying trying to train him out of his bad habits, and decided that I read somewhere that you could adopt a wild Mustang, and it only cost $125, and I thought it would be really fun to just train a horse, you know, start from the ground up, just a clean slate, you know. You can't get much more from the beginning than with a Mustang.
Right, so, right. Now, did you tell me that you participated in the in a Mustang makeover?
I participated in the 2012 Supreme Extreme Mustang Makeover in Fort Worth, and that was with my second Mustang. My first Mustang, I just kind of took my time with her and learned on her. But I got another little yearling in 2012, and he's just barely three now, and so I'm riding him. But I competed in the yearling division with him.
Wow, wow. Well, I actually saw that event in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a few years ago, and it absolutely fascinating what young people can do with these young Mustangs. It's just a treat to get to watch what goes on. But I would expect that was quite a learning experience, both with the first Mustang and with the second one. And, of course, you found out pretty quickly that when somebody says a horse is suitable for a beginner, that's not always accurate.
Not always. Yeah, you got to be careful not always. When your horse stopping. Yeah.
Yeah, you do. You do. Well, you've got a song that that I want to play right now, and it's a song called The Horse Nobody Could Ride, and I think that's a good spot for this song to fit in.
All right.
We're talking about that first quarter horse, and when we come back, we want to talk all about your music and how you got started, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're talking with Kristen Harris.
The horse that nobody could ride. Then down out of Cheyenne came a quiet and shy man who dared to try something that no man had tried. He sat down in the warm sun, 100 yards away from the horse nobody could ride.
Nobody Could Ride by Kristen Harris, and we're talking with Kristen today. And Kristen, I had we posted on our show page and our website and on Facebook photographs of you promoting the show for today. And somebody said, "Did you put a Throwback Thursday picture up? She looks awfully young." And I said, no, she just, you know, she's just a young lady getting started in this business. And how did you decide to get into the Western and cowboy genre of music versus maybe some things that, that teenagers might be listening to today?
Well, like I said earlier, because I had the horses, I was kind of into some things that other teenagers weren't to begin with anyway. And I was homeschooled. The first, what really, you know, made me want to play guitar in the beginning was watching old Western movies of like Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and hearing the Sons of the Pioneers and that really old music. I just thought it was so cool. I love the sound of it. So that's kind of how I got into it and what made me want to start learning to play the guitar. So those were the first songs that I learned.
Okay.
And,
all right. And how did you start? You didn't start out taking lessons, I don't think, did you? How'd you get started with guitar?
Well, I got a book on guitar chords, so some of the basic guitar chords, and started teaching myself chords and then learning songs with those. And so I was just kind of teaching myself. And I could play, you know, several songs, and I ended up doing an open mic at an event that was here in my hometown. It was a Chuck Wagon Cowboy event, and and I could yodel a little bit. I taught myself to yodel, and somebody there saw me and said I needed to go down to Fort Worth to the Cowtown Opry, which is a organization. They put on shows once a week in the Fort Worth Stockyards, and they do the Western swing and cowboy music like what I was playing. And so
right.
I joined up with that and started performing there a lot. And I'm a very visual learner, so I would watch the other guitar players and just try to mimic what they did and memorize what their hands were doing. And I went home and I practiced a lot. It didn't really feel like practicing, so I didn't realize how much I did it. But my dad says I would, you know, go in my room and play guitar for 2 to 3 hours every day. And
oh, wow.
I was just having fun with it. So.
Right. Well, when did you make the decision that music is what you wanted to do?
Well, I don't ever really remember consciously making that decision. It just once I got started performing, I loved playing and singing, and I loved the music, and so I was just having so much fun with it. I felt like I really discovered a passion, you know, and it just kind of, you know, all happened. Feels like it happened all so fast, but I've started performing more. I think later that year I did my first solo, you know, performance at a big event, you know, that was more than just an open mic. And I just doing that and got busier, and now it's what I do all the time, and I still love it just as much. So.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Go ahead.
It's just something that happened. That happened, I guess.
Yeah. It just kind of happened, and I'm glad it has, because I've never really had a, you know, a second thought about it.
Right. Well, we want to listen to you. There's another great song that you've done called Endless Sky.
Yes.
And are you doing some writing?
I do. I songwrite. As well as do cover songs. And so the first song you played, Yodel Western Swing, was one I wrote. Actually, I co-wrote that with some friends. But Endless Sky is written by a friend named Chuck Pyle, and it's one of my favorite songs.
Well, it's a great song. We want to listen to that. And when we come back, I want to talk with you just a little bit about some of the folks who may have influenced your music today, besides Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and the Sons of the Pioneers. Some of the guys that are performing now that may have been an influence. But let's listen to Endless Sky. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'll be back to talk with Kristen Harris in just a moment. By Kristen Harris. And Kristen, who has influenced you today? Who have been your influences in your music?
Well, there are several. I just really look up to some other contemporary Western performers and songwriters. And Dave Stamey is one, and Junie Fisher, and also Randy Houston. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a rancher out in New Mexico and just a fabulous songwriter. And I love the old songs, like Sons of the Pioneers, but I also love the contemporary ones and the ones that talk about ranching and living
cowboy lifestyle today, just that kind of thing really is something I love. And so R.W. Hampton's another one. He has great music. And I grew up actually listening to like classic country, Hank Williams Sr. and Merle Haggard,
right,
and that type of thing. And so I still love all that music. My dad listened to that all the time. And and then I've also been influenced by a lady named Devin Dawson. She lives here in the Fort Worth area. And she plays a pretty mean guitar. And so she was kind of an inspiration for me on playing guitar, especially. And so I've had a lot of people around me who are pretty amazing that I've been able to look up to.
Well, you've mentioned some great ones, you know, that have influenced you, and some really neat people. I know you and Junie probably have a lot in common with the horses. She takes Silk with her on the road sometime and travels.
Yes,
so
she does.
Yes,
she does combines
working
cow horse, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, she's heavy into that. She told me, she said, I kind of plan my concerts now so I can go to the events that I want to go to and compete. So that's pretty
I
neat.
Love her
that
late
is pretty
album.
Neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Listen.
Yes, Listen to the Horse.
Yeah.
That's got some
right.
amazing songs on it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Junie's
well,
awesome.
She's a pretty cool lady. I posted a clip the other day for people to watch that were not familiar with you, and it was one that was done at Elko.
Yeah.
And, was that this past year? How many times have you been to Elko?
Well, I've performed there twice. I think that video that you posted was not from this year, but from last year, 2013. But I was there this January, and that's a pretty cool event. I was real excited to get to be able to play there, because that's where you have all the greats in cowboy and western music and poetry.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, somebody told me, said if you'll come once, Gary, you won't make it your last time. You know, if you ever show up out there,
yeah,
you'll be back every year. So it's pretty interesting. I think Waddy Mitchell was on a month or so ago, and he said when they got ready to do the first one, they put out about 200 chairs, and they had to hustle around and get about 2,000 for that very first event. So it's
oh,
pretty
really?
Cool. Yeah, but it had
wow.
to be a thrill to be able to perform there, and we'll encourage
it
people to check out
was.
That video. There's another song that we want to play real quick, and that's one that's called Guardian Angel. Is this something that you
yes.
wrote?
No, I
Tell
wish
me
I had
about
written that,
that
song.
yeah.
That was written by Randy Houston, the guy I mentioned, who's in New Mexico, and I heard his daughter singing that song, and it really fits. You know, my quarter horse, he caused me a lot of grief, but he was my first horse, and I loved him, and I learned a lot from him. And so that song is, you know, I always feel like I'm singing that for him.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a great song. All of us that have had horses in our life that were special and got a little age on them, this is a song that's pretty special. It's Guardian Angel. And we're going to come back and talk with Kristen Harris some more after this. We're going to find out what's coming up next for her. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about a movie that's in the works. So Kristen Harris is Guardian Angel on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Climbed over mountains. softly you carried me. And I hope that I've been one tenth of the friend that you turned out to be. Well, I know it seems selfish.
Guardian Angel by Kristen Harris. And, you know, Kristen, we don't have enough time on our show to talk with people as long as we'd love to sometime.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a joy to talk with, and, you know, your music is great. But you are keeping a really, really busy schedule. And you've got a project that is in the works that is going to make you a movie star as well. So talk to us a little bit about Final Breath.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I've never done anything as far as acting goes before, and so this will be a new thing for me. But Final Breath is a movie. It's made for television. And they're going to start filming it, looks like, in September. And it's a modern Western story set on a ranch just outside of Reno, Nevada, the Wainema Ranch. And it's based on a book that's called Final Breath, which they call it's a romance, but it's also – it's kind of a – they say it's an uplifting family story of how the grandma and grandpa who own the ranch working through some struggles. And I'm going to be playing a side character, and I'll have, I think, somewhere around 32 lines in the movie. And but I some appearances in scenes too where I don't speak. And then what's really fun is there will be a scene. I think it's a 4th of July party scene, and I'll be singing a song that I wrote, and Lacey J. Dalton will be singing, and Lacey plays the grandmother in the movie, and Michael Martin Murphy will also be singing, and he's got a side character of some sort too, so... It's going to be really fun.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. So it kind of combines human life in a modern setting and some horses and some great music. And would you do me a favor and come back on the show again and let's talk a little bit more about what that experience was like and
you bet.
How you started. Before we leave, first of all, let's talk about where people can get your music.
Well, they can always find me on my website, which is www.kristenharris.com, and that's spelled KristenHarris.
So my
event schedule is on there. You can order CDs. You can download my music from my website or iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, all that. So,
well,
yeah.
I'm going to encourage everybody to do that, and that's kristenharris.com, and buy her music. You're going to love it. great, great young entertainer and already a star, and her star is just going to continue to rise, and we'll watch for her on the Final Breath movie. Where are you going to be next, Kristen?
I'm playing a few events here in Texas in July, and then in August I'm heading to Colorado. I'll be playing in Cortez, Colorado, first weekend in August, and then Prescott, Arizona, the second weekend. And then I head up to Washington State a couple weekends after that and play a concert there, and I'm going to be performing also on a pack trip up in the mountains, so that's going to be fun. And,
that'd be great.
Yeah. Lots more in September and October. I'm doing some more traveling, so kind of all over the West.
All right. Well, you're a busy young lady, and again, visit KristenHarris.com. She's got a Facebook page there, Kristen Harris Music. Go like that page and keep up with what this young lady is doing. You're going to love her music.
Yeah.
We have certainly enjoyed talking with you, Kristen, and we're going to close this segment out with Let Me Ride Down in Rocky Canyon. When we come back, we'll be talking with Phyllis Witt Payne, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Kristen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right. Talk with you soon. Bye-bye.
All right.
High heels and hotels to a home on the range. And Phyllis, welcome to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Well, thank you, Gary. It's good to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. And there is going to be so much for us to talk with you about today. But I'd like to start out talking about your first experience with horses and kind of your early days.
Well, I was a hotel brat. My mother and father were part of the origination of Holiday Inns of America. They worked many years with a man by the name of Timmons Wilson, who had an idea to start a hotel company for traveling families across the United States, and that was called Holiday Inn. And my mom and dad helped him build that business, and I grew up in hotels as a city girl, if you will. And my mom and dad had some very dear friends called Joe and Genevieve Wood outside of Texarkana, Texas. And my best friend at that time was their daughter by the name of Jeannie. And she and I would ride Old Smokey all around that big old ranch of theirs and ride bareback. Yep, ride bareback and together and through over levees and through lakes and ponds, and just it was a wonderful time. That was my first experience.
Oh wow. Well, how many years did you spend in the hospitality industry with hotels?
Well, I was from the age of 4 years old till my parents retired when I was 18 years old. I lived in hotels, and then I went to Northeastern State University in Oklahoma and majored in tourism and business administration. I was never going to be in the hotel business. But then I decided to follow in my father's footsteps and became a hotel executive for many brands across the United States, but about three hotel companies. I was the girl that they would send in to fix a hotel. I was a hatchet woman, I guess, but that's what I did all of my career.
Oh, goodness. So, well, go ahead.
Many years. I'm in my 50s now, so that was a long time.
Oh, wow. Well, you're a young woman. And when did you end up in Amarillo, Texas?
Well, I was I was working in the hotel industry in Seattle in, I believe it was 1994, actually, and my parents had retired to a community called Bella Vista, Arkansas. Many of you may not know of that, but it's right next to the big Walmart headquarters, and it's a beautiful retirement community with lots of golf courses and things like that that my mom and dad wanted to do. But at that particular time in 1994, they were starting to have some failing health. And whenever I went home to take care of them or visit, it would always take me 2 days because I'd always get tripped up in Dallas. So I had a man that I worked for who said, you know, I bought four hotels in Amarillo, Texas. And I said, where? He said, Amarillo. And he said, would you come and take those over? And I looked at the map and I saw it was only 6 hours by car from my parents, and I took the job immediately.
Oh, well, that was great. That was great. Well, so you ended up in Amarillo. When did the fascination and the love of the Western lifestyle come into play?
Well, you know, Gary, it's kind of funny that you asked that question because I've been asked it many times, and I think it was from that first time I got on a horse when I was a little girl. You just carry that love in your heart, and there is nothing like a horse. So when I moved to Amarillo, I had an opportunity to start riding and hone my skills. I grew up just like everyone did, riding a horse and not really knowing how to do it right, but knowing
right.
that I loved it. So I really started learning the craft and started riding in earnest right when I got here. And so that's been, 20 years ago. So I've just been riding ever since and started riding with cowboys and gathering cattle and doing all kinds of things like that. And it just started, sticking to my heart tighter and tighter. So, it just evolved into this wonderful lifestyle business that I created. And that's where I am now.
Okay. All right. Did the as you were in Amarillo, did the interest in the history of that area, was it something that came kind of gradually, or where did that come from?
Well, you know, I am just a lover of history, have been a lover of history all my life. And every place that I traveled in my career, I would always focus on, you know, the life of the people there and how they came there and what their story was and what the history was. And when I came to Amarillo, I realized that this was a really special place, that beautiful Palo Duro Canyon had so much history and had so many footsteps and hoofs that had put their marks there. And so I really started studying the history of the area and found out that this was the last free home of the Southern Plains Indians, and it was the last place in the southern area of the United States for the white man to put his feet, and that those Indians, as well as the cowboys who came after them, rode these incredible horses, and that legacy was there, and it was tight, and there is nothing like West Texas for the history of the horse, the cowboy, and the Indian.
Well, it is a historical area, and of course I know that. And we talked the other day. When did you start Cowgirls and Cowboys in the West, and what was the purpose for that?
Well, it kind of came to me like a lot of things come to people in their lives. You have this crossroads where you have to make a choice. I was very successful in the hotel business, and I guess I did a pretty good job because my bosses liked me. But being in any kind of high stress industry takes its toll on your health, and I was starting to develop some health issues that were ones that were precursors to cancer that I really had to take heed to what my doctor was saying. And so I decided about 7 or 8 years that I needed to start thinking about, you know, taking better care of myself. I was getting a little older. And so I kind of pulled the trigger on that about 3 years ago and retired from the hospitality industry and rested about 3 or 4 months and played around a little bit and traveled and this and that. And then I got kind of bored by it. And I was always riding horses, and we have some incredible land that overlooks Palo Duro Canyon. And we have just beautiful, beautiful horses. We have about, you know, I guess about 20 now in total. But we had people that would come out and ride on our ranch, and I would tell them about the history, and Ron would tell them about the history, and they just loved it. And so I decided to start a business doing what I love. So Amarillo is kind of a crossroads in the United States. It's got a major highway going through it, I-40. But one of the main things that attracts people to the area, especially all over the world, is that Route 66 goes through it. And so I just decided to start a business called Cowgirls and Cowboys in the West and do chuck wagon meals and tell people about the history of the chuck wagon and the cowboy, and also let them ride my horses if they wanted to and tell them about the history of the horse. And then I'd take them to the edge of my land and tell them about, as they overlooked the incredible Palo Duro Canyon, tell them about the history of that canyon and all of the people who had put their footsteps there. So that's what I started doing, and I'm doing it now. And we have people from everywhere across this globe come and visit us, and I just feel so blessed.
Wow, wow. Well, we want to take just a real quick little break. This is a song that was done by the legendary Ian Tyson, and it's called Brahmas and Mustangs, and I think it kind of fits in with what we'll be talking about in just a minute. We're talking with Phyllis Witt Payne of Los Cedros Ranch and Cowgirls and Cowboys in the West on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Brahmas and Mustangs, warm summer rain, Indian paintbrush blooming again. On 2 million acres, all of it was green, and I'm praying that you'll answer when that phone starts to ring. Now the snow-covered peaks stand white against the sky. Santa Rosa's turning, summer's gone by. My horses are tired, I'm about through, and I find myself thinking all the time about you. Did I stay too long? Did I play too long? Did I whisper in my dreams all the things? Life ain't what it seems. All the things is, life ain't what it seems. There's a payphone in paradise, out on the edge of town. Big cottonwood trees, golden leaves falling down. I'll wait a little longer, give it one more try. Please try your call later, means cowboy goodbye. Did I stay too long? Did I play too long? Did I whisper in my dreams all the things I made want to see? La da da, la da da da, la da 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 da. All the things I made.
Ian Tyson's Brahmas and Mustangs, and Phyllis, let's talk a little bit about the ranch. How many acres do you have there at Los Cedros, what kind of ranch is it?
Well, we have a cow-calf operation there, and we are on in very west Texas, so our land is a little dry right now. We were blessed with an inch of rain last night, Gary, so we are just so grateful.
That's great.
I know. It is incredible. But we have a cow-calf operation. We have a couple of ranches, and then we lease a lot of acreage out in East Texas where they have a lot more rain. But our particular ranch here that we have on the rim of Palo Duro Canyon, we ride on 3,000 acres, and it's just pretty amazing.
Well, with the cowgirls and cowboys in the West.
Yes,
What exactly is that? What? Talk to me just a little bit about that.
Well, I told you I retired several years ago, 3 years ago, and started the business immediately after I retired, and had an idea of what I wanted to do. And, you know, mainly, Gary, I just wanted to ride a horse every day. It's kind of a selfish thing. But I started out, and I thought, you know, I'm a cowgirl, and, you know, I'll get some cowgirls friends out there, and we'll ride horses and show people and cook for them and tell them the history and have a cowboy, you know, guitarist and all this. And so I named it Cowgirls in the West. And then we had a lot of saddles that needed to be listed, and we thought, well, you know, we need some bigger muscles than ours. So we got a cowboy or two out there to help us. And so we named it, thought about naming it Cowgirls and Cowboys. And then I went to, you know, the internet, and I started Googling cowgirls and cowboys, and all these porn sites came up, and I thought, you know, that isn't where we want them to go. So I added in the West. So that's how that started. But basically, it's just a bunch of cowgirls and cowboys, and we just show people, you know, how to rope and ride and tell them the history and make a mark and let them spread the word about Texas and the Old West and these incredible horses that we ride that are American Quarter horses, some of them from very great lines like Patty's Irish Whiskey, Pepto Boone's Mall, and, you know, just some of those, Joe Hancock, and some of those great, great horses. So we use these horses to gather cattle and do our cattle work. But about a fourth of the time of the year, about one out of every 4 days average, we bring people out here and just let them share our lifestyle. And you know, yesterday we had people from Norway, and we had some girls from the UK, and we had a rider out there wanting to get a flavor of the Old West and see the mesquite and the horny toads and our horses. And it's just, I'll tell you what, I could go on and on, but this life that we live and the legacy of the West and the horses is just something that people want to know about and love.
Well, now, what size groups do you usually take at a time?
Oh, we can take one guy who wants to know what it's like to be a cattleman to a group of, you know, 40 people from Norway, just like we had yesterday.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, do these folks actually help work the cattle?
We did yesterday. We had to push some calves to water. One of the wells was down, and the stock tank was going a little dry, so we had to push the calves to another, you know, stock tank and well and windmill. And so, yeah, sometimes we do. We basically just do what needs to be done out there. You know, if we've got to fix a fence, you know, maybe we'll gather a couple of them up to help us fix a fence. But, you know, we definitely ride the ranch. And it's not a trail ride. It's people joining us, riding with us on our ranch.
Well, that's pretty exciting. But in addition to that, they're also getting a history lesson, aren't they?
You know, they are. I do not let them loose without telling them about the hardiness that was needed by the people to settle our land in the West. It wasn't just, you know, getting up and checking your computer every day. It was, you know, not knowing what the day was going to bring. And absolutely, I let them know what it took to settle this land and let them know how incredible, you know, horsemen the Comanche Indians were, and how, you know, Ranald McKenzie, the last, when he, you know, attacked the Comanches down in Palo Duro Canyon with the Battle of Palo Duro, that really the only way that the Comanches would succumb and and surrender is because Ranald McKenzie took their horses, and without the horse, the Indian couldn't survive. So, you know, they hear about all of that, and then they ride those horses that are descendants from those great Mustang herds. So, absolutely. I don't let them go without a little bit of knowledge of the history and what it took, and hopefully they will pass that on so people from generations to come will know a little bit about Texas and the West and what it took to settle this land of ours.
Well, and there's a lot of history that goes along with Palo Duro Canyon, and there's some extremely famous people in history like Goodnight and Loving that have a lot of history connected with that area as well. And we're going to take another real quick break. There's a song that I want to play, and I was thinking about you this morning and decided that I wanted to use this song. When we come back from this, I want to talk a little bit, and we talked about this briefly when we chatted the other day, about the women of the West and their role and how they really made such an influence on it. But this is a song that's called Angel, and it's by R.W. Hampton, and actually this is a rough cut of this song. We played it first here on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and it's on his new CD, but this is Angel by R.W. Hampton, and we'll come back and talk with Phyllis, and we'll talk more about women and their role in the West when we come back.
First time I saw Angel, I was standing on a dusty street in a western town. What had I found? All dressed up in cowboy clothes, a working hand from head to toe, and darn pretty too. Who only knew? An angel in Levi's. First time I kissed Jimmy Lee, I knew that it was meant to be, 'cause my heart sang, the heavens rang. Now that's been almost 60 years ago, where the time has gone to, good Lord only knows. And I wouldn't take nothing for the ride up the trail of life with Angel by my side. I've seen heaven with my very eyes, standing by my side, my angel in Levi. Settled in on a homestead claim, life gets tough in the ranching game, but love grew up, and love was enough. And when the wolves howl at the door, we'd dig a little deeper and go for more, and she would smile, that angel smile, my angel in Levi's. There was the time that we went bust, our hopes and dreams had turned to dust, and I'd want to quit. She wouldn't think of it. We had two boys that buried one, our tears of sorrow choked the sun, and she would say, gonna see my will one day. She'd say, the Lord won't give us more than we can stand. Angel made me so much more than just a man, and I wouldn't take nothing for the ride up the trail of life with Angel by my side. I've seen heaven with my very eyes, standing by my side, my angel in Levi's. and I wouldn't take nothing for the ride up the trail of life with Angel by my side. All too soon it's time to say goodbye. I'll see you on the other side, my Angel in Levi's, my Angel in Levi's, my Angel in Levi's, Angel in Levi's.
R.W. Hampton's Angel. And Phyllis, the women of the West played quite a role, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Women play a role every day in everything, don't they?
They do. They do. They do. But you and I were talking a little bit the other day about the fact that women at one time, you know, they had a certain role that they played in ranch life. And then during the Civil War, things kind of changed a little bit. And they went from side saddle to their Levi's and astride the horse. And talk to us a little bit about some of that history in that area, if you can, and some more of the history of your area.
Well, you know, let me just start a little bit with the history of women coming to the West. You know, back in the day when 1830s, when they enacted the Indian Removal Act, they were starting to create a way for our country to expand. And, you know, so many people were coming from the big cities that were overcrowded or from the southerns that were, you know, they were just moving to the West. The media had created this romanticized version of what the West was, and our government incented people to come over here and establish residence in a ranch or farm or whatever. And you know, they didn't tell them that there was, you know, it was dry as a bone out here, and you know, there was no water, and that there were Indians here. So when they got here, it was just a big rude awakening for them. And the women came and followed their husbands, or, you know, the little girls came with their families. Well, eventually the Civil War started, and most of the people over here, definitely the men, all of the men left to go fight the Civil War, and it left the women here on their own. Well, when they first came over here, they couldn't ride, you know, astride a saddle. They had to all wear a skirt and a dress, and they had to ride side saddle, because if they didn't, it was scandalous. You couldn't wear pants if you were a woman. Yeah, it was scandalous. I mean, you were just the tart of the town if you tried to do that. But eventually, when the men went away, you know, you never know what you can do till you have to do it. So when
right.
the men went away, the women had to cover the, you know, duties and work at the farm and the ranch. And I realized that several times after falling off, gathering the cattle on side saddle, that they didn't want to ride side saddle anymore doing that. So they gathered up their brothers and their fathers and their husbands' jeans and started putting them on. And, you know, scandalous as it was safe. And they started riding on their saddles, and that's how women started, you know, working cattle and becoming cowgirls on their own. And it was out of necessity. And then when the men came back after the Civil War, if they came back, so many didn't, there wasn't,
right.
you know, there wasn't any talk about putting them back on a side saddle, because they had learned, you know, some gumption, and you know, they just weren't going to do that again, and they weren't going to put their skirts back on. They were going to continue to wear their pants. And you know, that hardiness and determination that those women had, you know, they had overcome many obstacles and learned and persevered, and they had really become strong in their own right. And the Western states were the first states to, you know, march for women to vote, because women were so tough out here. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because now women know how to make a hand. And, you know, some of the best cowgirls or some of the best workers on a ranch are the women. And not only do they work cattle and do all of those things, they do a million other things as well.
Well, you know, women, I think, as we've seen, are the backbone of the country. And kind of keep the guys on the straight and narrow path and hold our feet to the fire when we need to be held to the fire. I think that, did I read somewhere that you had been named number one by TripAdvisor for your area?
Absolutely. We are, you know, gosh, I don't even know how that happened. But, you know, we've taken over all the big museums around here and, you know, every attraction in Amarillo. And I know Amarillo is not a huge little city, but, you know, it's big enough. And, you know, our visitors have named us number one on TripAdvisor, and we're just so grateful that they love what we do. And you know what I'm more grateful about than anything, Gary?
What was
that? That they love the West, and they love great horses, and they love the land, and they love everything that we're about. And that is it's not me. It's not anything. It's our horses. It's our land. It's our history that they love. And they're the ones that have made us number one. And, you know, they just love it. They love it. The world loves the West.
Well, they do. I think many of us grew up watching the old Westerns on Saturday morning, and we still sneak a peek back at those whenever we get a chance. So there's a heritage and a history there of, you know, right winning out in the end and people working hard to make something for themselves and for their families. And so there's a lot of history there, and it seems that you do a lot to help continue that Western heritage and that legacy that was left behind for so many people that occasionally is in danger of being lost.
Right.
You've got an event, I think, that you told me about, and how prevalent were the Comanche in that area?
Absolutely. The Comanches were everything in Texas in the, you know, late 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. And the Comanche pretty much dominated and ruled all of Texas during that time. You know, their legacy or their presence here in Texas, what is now Texas, is what shaped, you know, so much of our country. The Comanches were what history books call the world's greatest light cavalry. They were incredible horsemen, and they were great, great warriors. And no one wanted to mess with the Comanches. As a matter of fact, the Comanches were what kept the West from moving west in the 1800s. Only when they surrendered in 1875 was the westward movement able to go west. So the Comanches were just very prominent in our history, not only in our particular area, but all of Texas.
Well, and I believe that as we're speaking about the Comanche, there's a ride or an event that's coming up later this year, the Comanche Moon Ride. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we are working right now with a company called Great American Adventures, and they do historic equestrian rides throughout the United States. They do rides at Tombstone, and these are for people who are really interested in the equestrian sport. They're 5 days, and they will go into a particular area and really unearth all of the history, and they will provide incredible horses for people to ride, and they sprinkle it with a lot of visits to museums in the evening and great speakers on who are experts on whatever area of history that they're writing in. And so we have a particular opportunity in May of 2015, and Great American Adventure is calling it the Comanche Moon Ride.
Is there any history that goes along with that?
Absolutely. For 5 days, they will come here to Amarillo, and every day they will ride, starting in the morning with a chuck wagon mule, and they will ride for about 6 or 7 hours on the land, and they will hear the history of that particular piece of land in the area. And then in the evenings, they'll be entertained by some of the best people in the West at the best venues. It's just going to be great.
Well, that's terrific. Now, I know that our listeners are going to want to know how they can get in touch with you and come out and enjoy that riding on Los Cedros Ranch and visit the Palo Duro Canyon. And so how is the best way to contact you?
Well, they can go to our website, which is cowgirlsandcowboysinthewest.com. And always think cowgirls first, cowgirlsandcowboysinthewest.com. And they can just go to our website and see what we have to offer and, make a reservation. We don't open the doors and just let anyone in. We're kind of particular with our riders and when we're going to ride, so they can make a reservation and come out and ride on our ranch and see what we do. And if they want to participate in the Comanche Moon Ride, they can go to greatamericanadventures.com. And I think they're doing a lot of advertising in True West Magazine and Cowboys and Indians, too, but it's the Comanche Moon Ride.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to encourage our listeners out there to get in touch with Phyllis at cowgirlsandcowboysinthewest.com and put that on your bucket list for a trip this year or next, and you'll learn a lot of history. You'll get to see how a real working ranch operates, and I expect Phyllis would put you to work a little bit out there with some fences and some cows, and give you a great history lesson as well. Phyllis, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I just wanted to compliment you, Gary. What you are doing with this Equestrian Legacy Radio is really an amazing thing. You are putting people together from all over the world who have a love of horses in the West, and I just want to thank you for doing that because, the world of horses is alive and well, and with people connecting with one another and loving horses and taking care of them and riding together, it'll just get bigger and bigger and continue like it did way back when.
Well, thank you, Phyllis, and I think the person that gets the big benefit from this program is me because I get to meet so many great folks like yourself and like Kristen Harris that were on the show earlier today, and talking about horses and talking about history and listening to some great music and sharing is just a joy. And you have been a joy to have on the show. And I hope you'll come back and join us again sometime in the future.
I would love to. And thank you again, and happy trails to you, Gary.
Happy trails to you, Phyllis. Thanks so much for being with us.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. You too. Well, we've had a great show today. I've enjoyed talking with Kristen Harris and listening to her music and also visiting with Phyllis Witt Payne at Los Cedros Ranch in Amarillo, Texas, and talking about cowgirls and cowboys in the West. And be sure and visit their website, cowgirlsandcowboysinthewest.com. I've got some exciting news that I want to announce, and that is that beginning Tuesday night, August the 5th at 7 p.m., we're adding a new program to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and that is called Saddle Up America. And you can visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, for more information, and also our Facebook page, Equestrian Legacy Radio. But we're real excited to bring a new program that will be at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time each Tuesday evening, beginning August 5th. And we've got a real cowgirl and trail rider that will be joining us as co-host on that show, and that's Tina Mae Weber. So mark your calendars and join us Thursday night, August the 5th at 7 p.m. Central Time for the premiere show of Saddle Up America. We also want to thank our sponsors of today's show. It's made possible by our great sponsors that you'll find at the general store and in the gallery at East of Santa Fe on our website, equestrianlegacy.net. We remind you, as always, when you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride, and thanks for listening today.
Tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seed. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Couldn't grow on through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again. Let's do some drifting. Here we go. Got the wind in my back.